Robert Monk.
That's me. I'm Robert Monk. I live at 4811 Springfield Avenue, Philadelphia 19143. So as Elizabeth said, I breathe the air. I breathe it where I live, but I also am often working in South Philly, very close to one of the major facilities that decisions are being made about and that we're talking about now. Just a couple days ago, I drove for probably 6 blocks through very poor visibility and the smell of burning tires, but it was, you know, it was so much thick air and such a strong smell for such a broad area that it can't have been burning tires. I don't know where it was coming from, but you know, stuff like that happens in Philadelphia, and the facilities that are producing this stuff need to be held accountable. I breathe it. I work in it. I'm concerned that although I'm fairly new to this process, normally I can look at legal documents, technical documents, and come away after an hour with a fairly good sense of what the stakes are, what the three main technical issues are, you know, maybe have an opinion about it that's probably the right opinion. But in this case, I don't know what we're even talking about. I mean, we need better information. For this hearing here to be meaningful, we need another one after some good documents where, you know, you don't have to go to a PDF and then download a zip to read some technical document that's gibberish anyway. I would like for AMS to take the time to synthesize some of this and present what these things mean, what's being decided. So I'm very confused. What I do know is, as others have said, certainly PES can't be trusted. They're a repeat offender. They've been in violation for years. So I hope you'll hold them to the highest possible standard available under the law and deny any concessions. And that's it.
Matt Walker.
So would you allow two representatives from your council to speak?
Yeah, that's fine.
So my name is Matt Walker. I'm the Community Outreach Director with Clean Air Council. We're an environmental health organization dedicated to protecting everyone's right to breathe clean air. And we've been around since 1967. Residents of Philadelphia are chronically exposed to poor air pollution. Now, the region's not an attainment of federal standards for ground level ozone, smog, and also annual particle pollution. And the EPA has just proposed tightening the health based standards for ozone. Today and tomorrow are going to be ozone action days for Philadelphia, where the air quality will be unhealthy for sensitive groups, people with pre-existing health conditions, the elderly, young people. The number of these ozone action days is projected to increase 70% in areas like Philadelphia in the next 50 years as a result of global warming, the warming temperatures from climate change, rather. Such a build-out of fossil fuel infrastructure, such as is happening, the refinery and other places, will substantially further degrade Philadelphia's air quality and have a disproportionate impact on low-income neighborhoods being asked to host such facilities. Philadelphia's low-income populations are often impacted the most from the weather extremes exacerbated by climate change and the health impacts from air pollution. Residents living near the refinery have continuously expressed concerns about operations at the refinery, especially during pollution events that have later led to violations. Residents have been quoted in NBC and the Inquirer expressing concerns about the facility, about the fires and the violations and incidents that have occurred over the past several years. They've testified to City Council. Some are here tonight. Ground level ozone, the main constituent of smog, aggravates lung diseases such as asthma, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, and increases the frequency of asthma attacks. Reducing air pollution in Philadelphia is crucial, where 1 in 4 children are diagnosed with asthma, and people die every summer from smog exacerbated by extreme heat from climate change. The industry is pushing a campaign to transform Philadelphia into a fossil fuel energy hub, with the PS refinery and oil trains as the anchor, but also including liquefied natural gas and natural gas liquids pipelines, and petrochemical manufacturing, et cetera, gas-fired power plants to kind of power all this industry. The continued use of fossil fuels is associated with devastating global, regional, and local environmental and health impacts. Increasing the number of these types of facilities would reverse the progress the city has made in cleaning up its air by reinvigorating and ramping up many of the same types of pollution sources as those largely responsible for Philadelphia's history of poor air quality. New or expanded infrastructure, such as the expanding PES refinery, could significantly increase harmful air pollution in the region. The refinery has been out of compliance with the Clean Air Act for all 12 of the last reporting quarters, 3 years at the least. PES has a unit that has been considered a high priority violation by the Environmental Protection Agency since April of 2012. The pollutants that have been implicated include VOCs, visible emissions, fugitive emissions, particulate matter, and carbon monoxide. With this backdrop, the council and its members are extremely concerned about the future of Philadelphia's air quality because of the refinery, and we urge AMS to do everything in its power to ensure that PES is held accountable for all of its frequent air pollution violations. The council urges AMS to notify the public about how it is addressing the violations, especially those that occurred this past spring. For a major pollution source that is continuously in violation of the Clean Air Act and is responsible for 72% of the area's air toxics from an industrial source, the council believes PES should be held to extra scrutiny by AMS in this RAC approval. While some of the RAC requirements may reduce some emissions at the refinery, there are technologies such as selective catalytic reduction that AMS could legitimately require that would go a long way to substantially cut air emissions. Today, Philadelphia is at a crossroads. Is its future one that promotes fossil fuels, or is it one that embraces an environmentally sustainable local economy and continues to see improvements in quality of life? The proposed fossil fuel energy hub anchored around the refinery would threaten our chance to continue to build an environmentally sustainable economy in Philadelphia that would provide many good-paying, long-lasting jobs for residents while promoting clean air and clean water.
About 1 minute.
And would also curb climate change. Hopefully, as leaders of Philadelphia government, you will make the choices that are best for the health and safety of your constituents. Thank you.
Marta Gutenberg.
Thank you. My name is Marta. I pronounce it Gutenberg, G-U-T-T.
Sorry.
It's okay, E-N-B-E-R-G. I live at 226 West Rittenhouse Square, Philadelphia, PA, 19103. Coming to this building is a kind of old home week for me. I'm a retired pediatric pathologist. I had my 20-year career just around the corner at CHOP, starting when it was a much smaller building. The scientific and global and political information that previous speakers have provided, I endorse entirely. At the risk of upsetting people, I will tell you that the lungs of our children look like the lungs of aged Midwesterners. In a few short months or a few short years, our children filter out particulate matter, pigment, and damaging chemicals that harm their lungs to a point that gets them on a slide to be interchangeable with an aged Midwestern farmer, say someone from Lake Wobegon. This is wrong. This is not necessary. There are techniques available right now that will temporarily improve the position of the chairs on the Titanic while we get off the sinking Titanic and move to renewable sources of energy. I'm grateful that our city has and monitors of our air quality. I'm grateful that we're experiencing democracy in action as they hear from citizens, and I hope that they will take our testimony seriously. Thank you.
Ron White.
Hi, my name is Ron White. I live at 3823 Spring Garden, 19104. I have a south-facing window, so in the summertime especially, I can see the haze that sits over South Philadelphia. It's very clear. And I think it's very ironic that the building that we're in is on top of a morgue, and we're talking about this issue because people are dying from this. Especially people of color, poor people. There's a reason why this refinery isn't out in the suburbs, it's not in a rich neighborhood. And I'm from West Philly, I'm from these communities that are being passed over. I've spent a lot of time on the Navajo Reservation, and they're dealing with the same issues. They are a sacrifice zone, just like South Philly is a sacrifice zone. They're supplying power to the entire Southwest, but there's only one hospital in the whole reservation. There's a girl who died of asthma here in Philadelphia because there wasn't a nurse in the public school. And I'm not sure how connected her asthma was to the refinery, but I'm pretty sure it has something to do with it. At the very least, we need the strictest, tightest possible regulations on these facilities as possible. I can't even believe that we're discussing, you know, loosening restrictions or whatever the case may be. And that's like, it's you know, mind-boggling that we're even having this discussion, but hopefully the people who are in charge of making these decisions can do the moral and right thing, because yes, people are literally dying from this polluted air that we have to breathe here in Philadelphia. Thanks.
Ben Hartung.
Good evening, my name is Ben Hartung and I'm a staff attorney at the Clean Air Council. And on behalf of the Clean Air Council, I want to thank Air Management Services for holding this public hearing. The purpose of my testimony today is to express strong concern about what Air Management Services is proposing. Let me first put this request into context. The PES refinery is a major polluting facility in the heart of a large metropolitan area. It has near neighbors whose health and welfare should be Air Management Services' top priority. We are concerned that what is being proposed does not reflect the level of needed protection. PES has not been a good neighbor. It has chronically exceeded the permit requirements to the detriment of public health. Regulators should be giving anything requested by PES particularly intense scrutiny, one, because of its size in a densely populated area, and two, because of its inability to meet its compliance requirements. The proposed changes to Philadelphia Energy Solutions' Reasonable Available Control Technology, RACT, plan approval, and the proposed associated revisions to the State Implementation Plan, RACT update, are the first updates of their kind since the refinery is owned by Sunoco. Changes to the RACT are important because if they are approved, they validate PES's proposed emissions controls as compliant with the Clean Air Act. Some of the conclusions reached by PES on the efficiency and feasibility of emissions controls, which appear in their July 2015 RACT update for Philadelphia, appear at odds with recent EPA determinations for emission controls for petroleum refineries. Philadelphia Energy Solutions RAC update document lists the NOx emission control technology of low NOx burners and flue gas recirculation as achieving 55% efficiency. EPA standards for performance for petroleum refineries states that a combination of low NOx burners and flue gas recirculation can achieve efficiency between 50 and 72%. Therefore, PES may have underestimated the efficiency of this NOx control technology, which could have led to the incorrect equipment being declared as RACT. For VOC control technology, PES's RACT update states that VOC emission reductions using flares range up to 98% efficiency. PES assumes this level of efficiency despite the fact that flare gas recovery technology is not discussed as an emission reduction option in the RACT update. EPA guidance has found that the average efficiency for refinery flare usually only achieves 95% destruction efficiency. Why wasn't flare gas recovery considered as an emission control technology for PES? EPA guidance has also stated that site-specific data should be used when calculating flare efficiency. Was site-specific data used to reach RACT update's assumption of 98% flare efficiency? In terms of specific changes listed for pieces of equipment for monitoring processes of PES, the proposal to delete a quarterly leak detection and repair requirement for fugitive emissions because it is covered by 25 PA code 129.58 requires more supporting explanation. Section 129.58 only requires quarterly monitoring for, quote, compressor seals, pipeline valves in gaseous service, and pressure relief valves in gaseous service. What specific language is being removed because PES views it as duplicative? Furthermore, from a community's perspective, leak detection and repair is an incredibly important way of reducing pollution that goes into the community. The RACT cost-effectiveness summary of PES's RACT update repeatedly lists SCR, selective catalytic reduction, and selective catalytic reduction combined with ultra-low NOx burners control technology is technically infeasible, often citing that SCR would not physically fit the plot space or that there's not adequate pressure to overcome the SCR pressure drop. More information about the dimensions and pressure drop requirements of potential SCR systems are needed to verify this claim. SCR systems have been previously installed in similar facilities at similar firing rates under RACT requirements. Valero and its Delaware City refinery satisfies RACT requirements using SCR and low NOx burners as the control technology for its boilers firing refinery fuel gas at a rate, excuse me. The fact that SCR combined with low NOx burners is technically feasible for smaller refinery operating under similar conditions calls into question why the same technology would not be feasible for a larger refinery on the eastern seaboard.
Okay, that's 5 minutes. We can.
Thanks.
Apologize in advance. Dr. Pune Saberi.
Pune Saberi.
Okay, sorry.
My name is Meenal Raval. Pune could not be here, so I'm reading her. Saberi is a physician. She represents Physicians for Social Responsibility, and she lives in Southwest Philly, I believe. What she says is, as a physician in Philadelphia, I care deeply about how air pollution impacts the health of residents and workers of the city. This hearing is very timely because two recent articles in Nature and Environmental Health Perspectives demonstrate a strong link between air pollution and early mortality. The studies highlight several important facts. As the concentration of fine particulates increase, so do the risk of early death, irrespective of a person's smoking history. They list the eastern United States as an area with high air pollutants, such as fine particulate matter concentration. Philadelphia is in non-attainment of levels of several air pollutants, and the PES refinery is one of the largest emitters in this region. Since sources of particulate matter in our region are objectively linked to early death, if air pollution is not good for our health, neither are the sources of air pollution. Many countries around the world do not have the benefit of something that we are supposed to have here, the Clean Air Act. I ask that Air Management Services take its role and responsibilities very seriously when it comes to the air pollution from sources of fossil fuel infrastructure like the oil trains or the refineries. Our lives will depend on it. Thank you.
Could you spell her name, please? You spell her name?
Yeah, Pune. P-O-U-N-E-S-A-B-E-R-I.
Thank you.
She's a doctor at Chubb.
Now we go back up to Maxine McCleary.
Yes, I wasn't going to say anything, but after listening to this lady over here and knowing that she was an employee at Chubb, I'm kind of concerned now because I have a 9.5-year-old that's been suffering from cancer from day one. From day one. And I was made to believe it was this or that. I never thought about the air pollution, but I used to tell a doctor when I go in emergency, she asks, he or she asks me, why did he have this tag? I say, probably the air pollution, but I was joking. I was joking with her. But now listening to her and then listening to them, I have more questions to ask the doctor the next time I take him to emergency, because he'd be in the hospital more than he'd be home. And as far as PE is concerned, I don't know too much about it, but I'm learning. And it sounds like to me that they need to be investigated, and they need to clean up their act before anybody give them anything else. That's all I got to say right now, but I will be emailing you.
Okay, we've gone through everybody. Anybody want to continue, maybe cut short this before, wants to add any testimony? Oh, yes, sir.
Peter Winslow, let me put on a different hat than I was wearing before. I'm engaged in research for the Department of Defense and energy efficiency technology under the Environmental Security Technology Certification Program. Doing this in conjunction with Carnegie Mellon University at the present time. It's the third such project I've been involved in. In discussions that I've had with representatives of the steel workers and representatives of the Teamsters responsible for the right-of-way, it has been brought to my attention, and I think to others as well, that the maintenance level that is of the tracks, the facilities, is abysmal at PES. From my experience in terms of energy efficiency technology studies going into various kinds of facilities, maintenance is absolutely essential. And I think that the poor record of PES has a bearing on their ability to achieve or not achieve hypothetical, theoretical levels of compliance and reduction in air pollution. And from what I've been told by these people who are on the ground working there, they are not in compliance because they do not properly maintain their equipment. And that is something that I think is relevant to the RAC discussion and to any theoretical achievement that is contemplated by any particular technology that may be approved for Philadelphia Energy Solutions.
Anybody else? Yes.
I'm gonna keep my same hat on because, my name is Susan Sachs and I'm speaking for Green Justice Philly, which is a citywide coalition that's working on these issues. And I'm going to keep that hat on because we, we're not just against the expansion of the refinery, although we are, we're also for a clean and just economic, social, and environmental future. And whenever these objections to the expansion or the existence of the refinery are brought up, the thing that always comes back at us, you need this for jobs. And so I want to say that Philadelphia, we're very aware, is making great strides through a difficult post-industrial transition. We're cleaning up some of the dirtiest air and water in the nation and forging ahead toward a greener, healthier future. But we cannot let ourselves be bought off by the prospect of a small number of jobs in a dying industry at the price of lasting damage to our air, water, and the livability of our neighborhoods, particularly when we know that the new green technologies are, as Matt pointed out, already surpassing fossil fuels in growth, affordability, and the creation of sustainable, stable, living wage jobs, and that dollar for dollar, investment in green alternatives creates many times more and better jobs than the equal investment in dirty fossil technology. And I want to end with another reference to the Pope. Pope Francis is about to visit us, and I want to remind you that we have a special duty to protect the most vulnerable among us from the continued degradation of our air and water and from the storm surges and extreme weather events that are getting more and more frequent and severe as the climate crisis advances. So I ask you to keep them in mind and that they need clean air, water, and safe neighborhoods. All of us need that far more than Phil Rinaldi needs a second mega yacht. He's already got one. Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, this is Elizabeth Arnold again. I just wanted to say I was reminded when some of the folks who testified were talking about the plumes of black smoke coming from the refinery. I was returning at 7 a.m., 8 a.m. one morning from New York to come to back to work in Philly, and the skyline was just, I was coming over the Walt Whitman Bridge, and there was just this huge plume of black smoke, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? Is there a fire? No, it was, you know, I looked online, it was coming from PES, and that was not the first time. And then when I looked up how many violations PES had, I realized there was an entire EPA webpage listing all of the violations, and it's literally on a monthly basis. It is unbelievable that this refinery has not been held more responsible. I would love to hear also in the replies what has been done. And also second, Robert Monk's testimony with, we just need better, more easy to consume information about the process, the technologies, the what goes on with the different regulatory agencies and how the public can participate. Because I work with an environmental group called EDGE, Encouraging Development of a Green Economy, and we are educating and talking to people all the time, and they really do, the vast majority of Philadelphians really care about our quality of life here in the city and improving it, and they just don't have enough information and don't know how to plug in to voice their concerns. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Can we ask questions? That would be answered later.
Be
answered in writing is, I think there's some question as to whether Air Management Services has the ability to put some teeth in these agreements. Like, you know, what is the extent of your authority to actually say to PES and other polluters, no, you have to comply with these regulations and maybe increase the fines? I don't know if there are regulatory or legal provisions that stop you from cracking down on this. And, you know, what would it take if you can't do that to, you know, where do we turn? Because we do want action, and if your hands are tied, how do we untie them, or whose hands aren't tied? Is that possible to answer that in the written response?
Wow, this you make a right. This is restricted to the RAC. The RAC is the control for the existing equipment. This is the control level we set for the existing equipment and the expansion for the refinery. For its existing equipment, we set the limit for that piece of equipment to be operated under. Okay, all is stringent to be more than whatever it is, or at equivalent. That process right now. What you're asking for beyond the hearing. I can answer that question at a different venue.
That would be great, because okay. We would like some law enforcement to be happening.
But we are party under the Wiener Act, the Philadelphia Code, and the State Air Pollution Control Act. And when Bill Act set the regulation, and we enforce the regulation, now if we come to in violation of the regulations, we cite them. If you see anything that you witness from the refinery, you can call us, and we try. We can send an inspector on site. If the inspector witnessed the violation, he can issue a violation. Then when we get a violation issue, we can take enforcement action allowed under the state regulation, the federal or the state or the local. Each one set different authority for different amount of penalty. For the federal, it could be up to $25,000 per day for violation. For state, it could be $10,000. Now, for the city, it could be $300, so it depends on the nature of each violation. So, and we are work in accordance with the regs that allow us to do. But first, we have to issue the company the violation first. Then we can work through that process.
Thank you, sir.
The refinery also has certain continued emission monitor for different staff. Uh-huh. We review the staff. Emission monitor, that continuous report. It doesn't report all the emissions from the refinery, but any major source at the refinery has CEM, the continuous emission monitor at the stack level. And they send out a report every 3 months. We review that. If they report violation, we issue violation on that. And we also go to the leak check and repair program. They support the reporter every 6 months. Our engineer go through that process. We also go to the site and inspect some facility. The refinery is a big complex. I have to tell you, it really was a lot of sources. And you know, it is not a challenge to operate. So I cannot tell you that, you know, they will be 100% free. But we make sure that whenever they violate, we find that out, we will cite them. If you see any violation, anything like smoke, you can call us. In the daytime, the number is 215-685-7580.
Can you say that again?
215-685-7580.
This is Tom Wynn. He's our program director, H-U-N-H.
And at night, you can call at 215-686-7776.
Mr. Hood, thank you for answering that question. I think what I'm trying to get at is the penalty piece of this. $25,000 is nothing to them. Do you have the authority to revoke permits?
It is not related.
Okay, maybe hang around afterwards if we want.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that would be great.
Anybody
else interested in knowing
this? Tom, we've just met you and Ed tonight. But I think I want you to be my new best friend, and you're going to be seeing more of us. All the people here and the people who aren't here who we represent are very concerned about these issues. We regard you as our allies. We regard you as the folks that we rely upon to help protect us from air pollution. So we want to help you so that you can help us.